ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरहे। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 चैप्टर 8 टाइटल द लॉर्ड स्लेज द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 33। काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी। द्योस तच्छटोत्क्षिप्त विमानसंकुला प्रोत्सर्पथ क्षमा च पधा विपीडिता शैलाः समुत्पेतुर् अमुश्यरमहसा तत्तेजसा खं कुकुबो न रेजिरे। द्योतत्षटोत्क्षिप्तविमानसङ्कुला प्रोत्सर्पतक्षमा च पदा विपीडिता शैलाः समुत्पेतुरमुश्य रंहसा तत्तेजसाखं कुकुबो न रेजिरे। द्योतच्छटोत्क्षिप्तविमानसङ्कुला प्रोत्सर्पतः क्षमा च पदा विपीडिता शैला समुत्पेतुरमुश्य रंहसा तत्तेजसाखं कुकुबो न रेजिरे। द्योतच्छटोत्क्षिप्तविमानसङ्कुला प्रोत्सर्पतक्षमा च पदा विपीडिता शैलाः समुत्पेतुरमुश्य रंहसा तत्तेजसाखं कुकुबो न रेजिरे। प्रोत्सर्पतक्षमा च पदा विपीडिता शैला समुत्पेतुरमुश्य रंहसा तत्तेजसाकं कुकुबो न रेजिरे। द्योतच्छटोत्क्षिप्तविमानसङ्कुला प्रोत्सर्पतक्षमा च पदा विपीडिता Thank you.
शैलासमुत्पेतुरमुशरं हसा
माताजी वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी जो आउटर स्पेस तच्छटा by his hair utkshipta thrown up vimana sankula filled with airplanes protsarpata flipped out of place kshama the planet earth cha also pada abhipidita distress due to the heavy weight of the lotus feet of the Lord. Shailaha, the hills and mountains. Samutpetuhu, sprang up. Amusha, of that one, the Lord. Ramhasa, due to the intolerable force. Tattejasa, by his effulgence. Kam, the sky. Khakubaha, the 10 directions. Nare jire, did not shine. Translation and purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Aeroplanes were thrown into outer space and the upper planetary system by the hair on Narasimhadeva's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, and all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky and all directions diminished in their natural illumination. Purport. That there were aeroplanes flying in the sky long, long ago can be understood from this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken 5000 years ago, and the statements of this verse prove that the symptoms of a very advanced civilization then existed, even in the upper planetary systems, as well as in the lower planetary systems. Modern scientists and philosophers foolishly explain that there was no civilization prior to 3000 years ago. But the statement of this verse nullifies such whimsical judgments. The Vedic civilization existed millions and millions of years ago. It existed since the creation of this universe, and it included arrangements all over the universe with all the modern amenities and even more. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురోన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసైతం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసుది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే సాధు సాధు సో ఐ టేక్ ద బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ డివోటీస్ ఇన్ దిస్ హాల్ సో దట్ ఐ కెన్ స్పీక్ ఆన్ బిహాఫ్ ఆఫ్ పరంపర హరే కృష్ణ So just to refresh our memory, here the discussion is going on between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj. After Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthir Maharaj asked Narad Muni about the greatness of the Lord that he award celebration even to demons. So one of the qualities of the Lord is Hatari Gati Dayaka. So one who awards liberation to those whom he kills. So Lord Krishna, he awards liberation even to demons when he kills them. So Shishupala was killed in Rashya sacrifice. Therefore Yudhishthira Maharaj was very surprised. And of course we also know that Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, they are discussing about how Lord is not partial. So the topic of impartiality of the Lord, so that is going on. And especially after here in this section, so Lord Narasimhadev has killed Hiranyakashipu and his faithful followers, other soldiers of Hiranyakashipu, they were also killed. Now, so what happened after that battle or war? So the discussion is going on. And here if you see these descriptions, so it appears that they are very wonderful and astonishing. But from the point of view of Lord, because he is possessor of inconceivable potencies or unlimited potencies, so for him to exhibit all this kinds of activities is not such a great thing. So from our point of view, it is very wonderful and astonishing. So, and they may appear very impractical or mythological, but those who know the science of the energies of the Lord, so for them, so this kind of descriptions that so mountains are springing up by the force of the Lord, and so earth is slipping from its position, so all these descriptions are not so astounding. So Lord can perform any superhuman activities. So he can lift Govardhan hill, and he can make a gigantic planets to float in the space. Gama Vishcha Bhutani Dharayam Ahamojasa. So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, so by my Ojas Shakti I make them to float in the space. So these things are not so astounding. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada brings up this topic of history of civilizations, because in the first line of this verse it is mentioned, aeroplanes were thrown into outer space and the upper planetary system by the hair on the Lord, on Narasimhadeva's head. So previously aeroplanes were existed before our friends, white brothers, according to Western worldview, so white brothers were the first one to manufacture aeroplanes. So this kind of idea is there in the Western history. So Srila Prabhupada, he says that aeroplanes were existing before and well-developed civilizations were present. So modern history begins with hunters and gatherers, activities of the hunters and gatherers. So 40,000 years ago, there are only hunters and gatherers. And gradually developed human beings evolved. So before going to discuss on this history of civilizations, so I would like to discuss the basis of modern history and ancient history, which is described in the Puranas like Srimad Bhagavatam. So our historical framework is based on our conception of time. Now, this having different conceptions of time is itself very new idea for historians. Because according to them, so time means it's a linear progressive factor which begins from one point to point and ends at gradually progresses and ends at another point in a straight line. This idea we will come to, we'll discuss on that also, how this idea came into history. So, but according to, so in modern cosmology also they understand that time is linear progressive factor, which began just after Big Bang, happened few seconds after Big Bang. So, but few seconds after Big Bang, can we describe like that? Because according to them, there was no time before that. So how can we use these terms before or after? Because there was no such thing called time before, before that. So this is mythology. According to Bhagavad Gita, time is eternal. Lord Krishna says, Aham evakshaya kalo. I am eternal time. And this time moves in a cyclical way. So we know that verse in Brahma Samhita. Yachakshureshu savita sakalagrahana raja samasta suramurti rasesha teja yasyadneya brahmati samvrata kala chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. So kala chakra moves according to will of the Lord. Govinda is the original personality of Godhead. So now here this word kala chakra comes there. So it is chakra, it's a wheel of time. So our time moves in a cyclical way or in a cycle. So this is more logical to accept or believe than linear progressive time. So we all have experience that now 8 o'clock is fast. So again 8 o'clock will come. And Friday has passed now. Again Friday will come. And then March has passed now. Again March will come. So in this way, from atomic level up to universal level. So there is continuous, at universal level, at macro level, there is continuous cycle of creation, maintenance and destruction, because creation also works under the influence of this cyclical time. And we also have, we know the cycles of Satyayuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. So in this way, continuous cycles of these yugas come and go, and seasons keep changing like that. So this is more which we have experience. We have seasons are coming and going. So winter season comes, rainy season comes, winter season comes, then again summer season comes. Again, so winter, someone may argue that, okay, this we have made this system, Gregorian, according to Gregorian calendar, that January, February come, but seasons, how we will define them? So seasons are coming in a cycle, right? So naturally it is set like that, because time, material nature works under the cyclical time. So seasons keep coming and going in a cycle. So this is more logical to logical to accept than linear progressive factor. So based on this conception of time, so civilization, whether it is progressive or previously well developed civilizations were existing, is determined. So now I mentioned that modern historians, they do not have any idea that there are different conceptions of time. So that there is cyclical nature of time. So other than linear progressive time, they don't have any other idea. So but when we study Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, so we come to know about eternal time and cyclical nature of time. So based on our conception of time, our historical framework is defined or made. And of course, in modern history, they do not study time at all. So ideas are derived from different faculties of knowledge.
or what their so-called knowledge, because ignorance is presented as knowledge in modern, Prabhupada said that. So, in the name of university education, people are kept into ignorance. So, ignorance is presented as knowledge. So, there are different fields of so-called knowledge, and they derive their ideas from different fields of knowledge, different faculties of knowledge, and in this way cumulative effect makes their world view. So cumulative ideas make their world view. So the time in history itself, time is not studied, but that is derived from, maybe they must have derived it from cosmology or physics. But again, in cosmology, this idea of linear progressive time comes not from cosmology itself, but it is coming from Christian mythology. Why? Because just like you see, in Buddhism, what is this Buddhism? Buddhism is mostly, although they rejected Vedas, but all their ideas and their practices and their culture is coming apart from Shunyavad, which is their main idea. So, but culturally, if you see, Buddhism is derived from Vedic culture. Whatever they all do, their meditation, their dress code, like this shaven-headed and saffron. So, most of the ideas are coming from Vedic culture. Similarly, most of the scientific ideas, they are coming from Christianity. So, Dhritakarma Prabhu, he wrote that paper, Puranic Time and Archaeological Evidence. So, in that he explains that how this linear progressive time, idea of time, is coming from Judo-Christianity in science. So, most of the ideas in modern science and cosmology, they are coming from Christianity. So, in 4th century, one of the early Christian gurus, Thomas Aquinas, so he suggested this idea of linear progressive civilization. So based on the idea of linear progressive time. So according to him, so there are many civilizations, and that is not wrong. So, but the idea that once a civilization is progressing than previous, it is progressive than previous civilization is a bogus idea. So he stated that based on that idea, gradually this history was developed that now, and presently 21st century is considered as the most civilized conception, most civilized society. Civilization. So, but this is bogus idea, it is. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada used to say, dog is running on 4 legs and we are running on 4 wheels. What is the difference? So, it is a competition with dogs. So, in this way, based on our idea of time, so we make our historical framework. So, but in a cyclical conception of time, we can understand that previously well-developed civilizations were existing. And so in this way, so in modern historical understanding, modern society is most civilized, but according to Vedic understanding, it is most degraded civilization. Kali Yuga, we all know descriptions of Kali from Purana, from Srimad Bhagavatam, and logically also we can understand that in modern civilization, people, neither they know prayas nor they know shreyas. So shreyas means self-realization and God-realization, and prayas means immediate happiness, eating, sleeping, mating and depending. So they do not know even how to eat nicely, how to sleep nicely, how to have good family life, sex life, and how to defend themselves. prepare themselves for future security. So they neither they know prayers nor they shreyas. And actual definition of progress or civilization is how much the living entity is progress towards God realization. That is actual definition of progress. So, but because in modern days people are, so they do not have any idea of self-realization and God-realization, and their knowledge does not lead to self-realization. They just remain animals, two-legged animals, vipada pashu. So just competing with hogs and dogs. So this is hogs and dogs civilization. So anyway, so Srila Prabhupada here especially, he indicates to in relation with Vedic culture or Vedic civilization, so he indirectly indicates to this Aryan invasion theory. So Aryan invasion theory, so our towards the beginning of 19th century or towards the end of 18th century, many European Indologists, so they, with evangelical motives, they came to India and studied Sanskrit. So one of the early Indologists was, or the first Indologist to learn Sanskrit was, who came to India was William Jones. And he was a sophisticated intellectual. In his lifetime he studied 28, he learned 28 languages, and he learned Sanskrit within 4 months. And so he was the first one to learn Sanskrit, and of course some others were, but he came to India and learned. And he made up this mythology that because Sanskrit, Latin and Greek, so their structure of language, they are similar. So therefore, so all these languages must have originated from some he called these three languages as Indo-European group of languages. And they must have, because there is similarity in the structure, so therefore they must have originated from a common language. So this is called as linguistics, based by understanding, by studying the structure of the languages. But why they must have originated from some other previous language? Why not one amongst them were the origin of other languages? So this argument we can bring up. So either Sanskrit must be the origin of other languages, or Greek or Latin must be origin of other languages. So we can bring up that thesis also. But instead of, he made up thesis that so some other Indo-European so ancestor was the origin of these three this group of languages. So but till now they have not understood what is the origin of these languages. But we all know, and we can also logically present that Sanskrit is the origin of all other languages, and it is the oldest language, and the culture and civilization which is based on Sanskrit language is the oldest civilization. So now based on this linguistics, so they made up this Aryan invasion mythology. So according to this mythology, Aryans came from Europe in the approximately around 3500 years ago, and in this way they developed this Vedic civilization. They wrote all the Vedas, and in this way Vedic civilization developed, Sanskrit language developed, or Vedic civilization developed. So now this word Aryan itself, if you see, Lord Krishna uses this word in Bhagavad Gita. Anarya justam asvargyam akirtim karam arjuna. So this is not befitting for you, Arjuna, because you are coming from Aryan family. So according to Sanskrit word, if you go to the root word, so Aryan means one who is civilized human being. Srila Prabhupada, he defines there that those who have spiritual goal of life, those who have self-realization as their goal of life. Now if you take this side understanding, so those who are just like animalistic, only interested in eating, sleeping, mating, depending, ahara nidra bhayam aitunam, so those who do not have any spiritual goal, they cannot be considered as Aryans. So now in the world, where is the spiritual culture, where is spiritual civilization existing? So can we take all these white aborigines coming from Europe or West as civilized human beings? Because they are not interested in anything better above eating, sleeping, mating and depending. So there is no spiritual culture there. So there is no knowledge of Atma Vidya. There is no knowledge of Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma there. Right? So such the developed spiritual wisdom is not there. So of course now in modern Indians also have become an Arya. Right? So we cannot blame the only Westerners. So Indians also, they don't have any spiritual culture or spiritual wisdom now. So in this way, if you go to according to the Sanskrit word, so Sanskrit meaning, so Westerners, they do not fit into it. And now Max Muller was the one who said that these Vedic literatures were written between 3200 to 3500 years approximately, and all later Indologists, they accepted that dating of Vedic literature. So Aryans came and wrote all this like that. But now if you take the literatures themselves, for instance Bhagavad Gita, so they do not accept this idea that they were written 3500 years ago. So now we can astrologically, parampara is very strong evidence, unbroken chain of disciplic succession. It's a very powerful evidence. None of the parampara acharyas said that these were written 3200 or 3500 years ago. Now why we have to accept parampara acharyas, they may question us. Why we have to accept mundane scholars, that is our question. And all their history is developed based on, especially if you see Indian history, this whole modern academic Indian history is developed based on some travelers who came to India and wrote some, left their diary, left their notes. So famous among them was brought by Alexander the Great, Megasthenes. So Megasthenes left a lot of notes, and based on his notes and some Chinese travelers, Huyan Sang, so all these people, they came and left some notes. Based on that notes, they have developed this academic history in India. So academic historians. There is one lady in JNU, Jawaharlal Nehru University. So she has written some 10 or 11 volumes, India They Saw. So India They Saw means those outside travelers who came and left notes. Based on their notes, she has so written some 10 or 11 volumes. So in this way, Indian academic history is developed based on some travelers. If you can believe on what travelers came and wrote some notes on India, why not accept parampara acharyas? So this is a very strong evidence. And none of the parampara acharyas told that Vedas and all these itihasas, history was, Puranas and itihasas were written 3200 years ago or 3500 years ago. So they speak about time, they speak about this language, they speak about this literature and the civilization based on literature since from the time of creation, from the dawn of creation. And we can trace the parampara up to creation, up to Brahma, first living being. So that is a very strong evidence. And the second thing is, we already discussed that they are not civilized, there were no civilized human beings outside India, right or not, if you see the definition of Aryan. And if you see the literatures themselves, like if they claim that these were written 3200 years ago or 500 years ago, but the literatures themselves doesn't say like that. So in Bhagavad Gita we have Lord Krishna, he says that imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyam vivasvan manave praha manu rikshvakave bravit. I spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan, and Vivasvan spoke it to Manu, and Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. So before going to this account, I brought up that point of astrological calculation. When this Bhagavad Gita was presently available, Bhagavad Gita was spoken, if you consider that. So astrologically we can calculate when Mahabharata war took place, and this astrological calculation is a very strong argument, very powerful challenge. No one can question that. So because previously we have this Jyotish Shastra, which is a very well developed system of predicting time and dates, etc. It's a very powerful dating technique. So according to that, we can calculate exactly when Mahabharata war took place. So one Sri Vaishnava scholar has done that. So Dr. K.S. Narayan Acharya. So we can exactly calculate, and we can also understand when, which date Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So according to astrological calculation, So 1897 marked the 5000 years of Kali Yuga after Kurukshetra war. So that means, 5120 years back, Mahabharata or this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And we can also say 18 days. So in this way we can calculate when this. So the presently available Bhagavad Gita is, or Mahabharata is, 5000, it was written 5000 years ago. And we all know from parampara that all these Vedic literature were written by Vedavyas 5000 years back. Here, like in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, he says Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled 5000 years back, like that he says. So, and in the book itself, again, Lord Krishna says that I spoke this knowledge previously to Sun God Vivasvan, and Vivasvan spoke it to Manu, Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. So in this way, this was coming down in parampara. So Srila Prabhupada, quoting Mahabharata, he explains here in the purport, when Lord Krishna spoke it to Vivasvan and Vivasvan spoke it to Manu. So we have those verses from Mahabharata here. So Treta Yugo Do Chatato Vivasvan Manave Dado Manushya Loka Pratyartam Sute Yakshakave Dado Ikshvakuna Cha Katito Vyapya Loka Navastitaha. In the beginning of the millennium known as Treta Yuga, this science of relationship with the Supreme was delivered by Vivasvan to Manu. Manu, being father of mankind, gave it to his son Maharaj Ikshvaku, the king of this earth planet and forefather of the Raghu dynasty, in which Lord Ramachandra appeared. So now Treta Yugo Do Chatato Vivasvan Manave Dado. If this knowledge was spoken, Bhagavad Gita was previously spoken by Vivasvan to Manu in the beginning of Treta Yuga, that means, so we all know Treta Yuga is according to Jyotish Shastra. So Treta Yuga is 12,96,000 years. and Dwapara Yuga is 864,000 years. So if you add them, and Kali Yuga 5,000 years. So if you add up, so it will approximately come to 22 lakh years. So Prabhupada here in the purport approximately he so sums it up as 20 lakh years. So that means 2 million years before, so Sun God Vivaswan spoke it to Manu, and Lord Krishna had spoken even before that to Sun God Vivaswan. Now where is 3500 years and where is so 2 million years? So what is the comparison? So this is completely absurd. So this is mythology. The book itself says something else, and these Indologists and these scholars, Dr. Frogs, they say something else. Right. So why we have to believe them, what they say? Right or not? So now they may say, oh, we have archaeological evidence, this evidence. But in modern linguistics itself, so there is, like we discuss how linguistics, based on linguistics, they develop this idea that so there is some other origin of Sanskrit and this Vedic civilization. So the linguists themselves do not accept all the archaeological evidence. In 1921, when this Harappa and Mohenjo-daro, so archaeological excavation took place, and it was revealed and how so well developed civilization existed here on the bank of Indus River. So all this archaeological evidence is also there. If you want empirical evidence, that is also there. But there is always clash between archaeologists and linguists, because so the ideas which they made up, linguists made up, doesn't correlate with archaeological evidence. So therefore they fight among themselves. So we have our own logical traditional arguments which are unquestionable, which are irrefutable, so which some of them which we discussed today. So and if required, supportive empirical evidence can be given. But this traditional arguments, they are strong in themselves. So in this way we can understand that well developed civilizations existed before what modern historians consider prior to that period. And in fact we know Vedic civilization is the most developed civilization, because it focuses on self-realization and God realization, if we understand proper, based on the proper understanding of actual civilization, proper definition of actual civilization. So and we all know that especially here Srila Prabhupada, he mentions about aeroplanes. So all modern, what we considered as very modern, existing only in modern civilization, all the amenities, gadgets, or whatever we consider as symbols of civilization, although they are not the actual symbols of civilization, having a motor car, having a aeroplane, or big skyscraper buildings, and running, competing with the dogs, running here and there in four wheels, this is not actual symbol of, although they may not have food, they may not have water. In most of all these metros, metropolitan cities, there is no water to drink, right? So water scarcity is there. So still they are very proud of the civilizations. So this is not actual civilization. Actually this is degradation. So in a society where there is no good food and good water, basic necessities of life, so we cannot consider them as civilized. So you may have so many gadgets. Ultimately, annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava yajnyad bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhava. So recently I spoke on this verse, and I asked, who is more important, whether a IT professional is more important or a farmer in village is important? Everyone accepted. I gave this knowledge in this class in Bangalore. So everyone, whoever was assembled there, they all accepted that farmers are more important. Because however we make progress, ultimately we have to depend on Anna, right? So we need grains, food grains. We need water, right? Without water we cannot even run the cities, right? So we may have developed big metropolitan cities with 1 crore, 2 crore people. So all clubbed together here, squeezing each other. So, but still ultimately we have to depend on grains and water which is sent by Lord. So, can we manufacture grains in our factories, in our IT companies, or in our universities, or in our banks? We cannot do that. So, ultimately we have to depend on so Vedic civilization, Varnashrama. Someone is following some aspects of Varnashrama and growing some food. May not be perfect. Therefore, still the cities are maintained. Otherwise, we cannot run our cities. So, actual human civilization is different. So, anyway, and in Vedic culture, not that all this technology which we are talking about, so it was not there. So, especially coming to the point of aeroplanes here, so Bharadwaj Muni, he wrote Vimana Shastra. So, although we say that aerodynamics was developed by Wright brothers, that is Western world view it is. So all these ideas in modern society is completely so Western centric world view they are. Or Western world view. So these ideas are Western centric it is. So they consider actual civilization is in the Western countries. So everyone has to accept that. But if you study Sanskrit, so all this knowledge is locked up in Sanskrit language. So Bharadwaj Muni, he wrote this Vimana Shastra. One Sri Vaishnava scholar in South India, in Melukote, he invited many scientists and he conducted a conference on aerodynamics. How in Vedic culture also, he had idea that he wanted to show to the world that how all this, what we considered as symbols of advanced civilization, they were all existing in Vedic culture or in Sanskrit language. So, of course, nowadays he is not so active. He is very old also, 77, 78, 79 years old. So, in this way he conducted a conference and invited many scientists and showed them that how this aerodynamics was there in previously also. So based on Bharadwaj Muni's Vimana Shastra. So all this we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, we know that. So that Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Phalam Shukamukha Damrata Drava Samyutam Pipata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muraho Rishika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. So Nigama, so this descending knowledge, so Nigama which descends, our Vedic knowledge is descending knowledge. So Kalpataru, it is like desire fulfilling tree it is. Anything we want to know, it is all there. In the Purport Srila Prabhupada, he defines Veda as aggregate knowledge. So aggregate knowledge means, if there is any knowledge about anything, whether we take aerodynamics, whether we take metallurgy, whether we take chemistry, physics, so medicine, any knowledge we consider, it is all there in the Vedas. That is the meaning of aggregate knowledge. Or everything is coming from the Vedas. So in this way, all this knowledge is existed before. Now deliberately, instead of Sanskrit education, English education was given more prominence. So then people lost connection with this knowledge. So right, everywhere they advertise, no? English medium school, or CBSE school, or international school, like that. So in this way, Sanskrit was given less importance. And in this way, people lost connection with all these things. But if you revive this Sanskrit language, automatically all other things are revived. But in Sanskrit language and all this history, Puranic history and Mahabharata Itihasa history, the focus is not hundreds and thousands of topics of this world. They were there. but the focus was self-realization and God-realization. Shota Vyadini Rajendra, Nanam Santi Sahasyata, Apashyatam Atma Tattva, Graheshu Grahamedinam. So Grahamedis have thousands of subject matters to discuss, thousands of departments in their universities. So, but what is the use? They are blind to self-realization. So the knowledge which does not help us to solve birth, death, old age and disease, what is the use of that? So in this way, although all this knowledge of aerodynamics and all other, like we also know that yata kanshanatanena kamsyam rasavidanata tata dikshavidanena dvijattam jayate narha. In that verse, although it is spoken about initiation, how even someone who is born in low family comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, he becomes a dvija, twice born. But the example is given, just like mercury can be converted into gold. So they knew this knowledge, metallurgy, of converting mercury into bell metal by mixing with mercury into gold. So all this knowledge, metallurgy, everything has existed, but the focus was self-realization. So focus was solving birth, death, old age and disease. So that was the focus. So in this way, from Vedic histories, so we understand that well-developed civilizations were existing before. So although modern mythologies, they have different idea. So they have idea that hunters and gatherers, that is based on Darwinism, Darwinian evolution. So how different ideas, they come together and cumulatively make up some mythology, and that is taught in the schools and colleges as history. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Brother, for the nice class. In the modern archaeological excavations, they found many skeletons of dinosaurs. And they say that while creation happened, previously there were dinosaurs and they became extinct. So they say that time human species were not existing. So their fossils have been found. So what is the Vedic understanding about that existence of dinosaurs?
First of all, there are many problems with all the skeletons and for instance, here they found this Ramapithecus, and they said that this is it was a ape-like structure, and they developed, generally what they do is they find a skeleton and they develop a structure, make a figure out of that. So later they realized that it is not a ape-like creature structure. It is a hog structure it is, and in this way they rejected it. So often what they understand as this is dinosaur skeleton, that is questionable it is. And we have seen in the history of archaeology, that is one thing. And another thing is that it is not that there were no human fossils existing before what they consider that according to their idea. So we have this forbidden archaeology. So 952 pages of archaeological evidence that how well-developed human beings were existing before also. And fossil record is not ultimate, because Srila Prabhupada, he said that in India we burn our bodies. Where is the fossil evidence? Where is the fossil record? Alright? Previously all over the world Vedic culture was existing, they burnt their bodies, right or not? Where is the fossil evidence? So that is not ultimate evidence. Okay? Any other questions? Yes, Mata. So mic is there?
I didn't understand what you mean by linear time. The historian, they measure time linear way. Can you explain this again?
Mataji, I didn't hear.
Yeah. I didn't understand what you mean by linear time. Measurement of time in a linear way by the historian.
Okay. So, meaning of linear progressive time, concept of time. It's basically, it begins from one point and moves in a straight line. Straight line means that is implied by that and ends at a certain time. Modern cosmologists, they say that, they give some figure, I forgot now. Just few seconds after Big Bang, time began, they say. And in this way, one day when all these universes will be destroyed, when they enter into black hole, they have different kinds of theories about it. So time also will end. So that is their idea. So this concept of time which begins from one point to another and ends at another point is called linear progressive concept of time. And we have our Vedic concept, that is Kala Chakra. So, and as we discussed in the class, that this is more logical to believe in, you know, cyclical nature of time than progressive time. Okay, Mataji. Any other questions? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna.